Welcome, friends. I'm Clinton DeFrance, and this is Landmark Q&A. At Christian Landmark, we believe the Bible holds the answers to life's greatest questions. Today, we answer a listener's question about Bible translation. Can inspiration survive the translation process? In other words, is the Word of God lost in translation? First, some remarks on inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Christians believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scripture. The word inspiration in the previous verse comes from the Greek theanoustos and means literally, God breathed. This is a highly illustrative, idiomatic way of saying that the Bible is the Word of God. Verbal inspiration means that God specifically chose every word, word by word. The Scriptures themselves abundantly testify to this truth. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says that the Holy Spirit taught the apostles spiritual truths in His own words. Jesus and the apostles demonstrated a conviction that even the grammar of the Scriptures was specifically chosen by God to reveal truth with precision. In His debate with the Sadducees, Jesus made a theological argument based on the verb tense in Matthew 22 and verse 32. The Apostle Paul contends for the Messiahship of Jesus by stressing the singular number of a noun in Galatians 3:16. Plenary inspiration means that every part of Scripture, or as the passage from Timothy says, all Scripture, not simply those parts claiming to be the direct revelation of God, is verbally inspired. Thus, the Bible is always true in matters of theology, history, science, geography, etc. It is because of these beliefs that the Church of Christ considers the Bible the sole and absolute authority in matters of religion and ethics. However, these supernatural attributes belong to the autographs, or the original documents, as penned by inspired men. And between those documents and us are some hurdles that must be overcome. One of these hurdles is translation. Those who know the history of the Bible realize that it is a collection of ancient documents originally written between 3,400 and 2,000 years ago. The original documents were, of course, not written in English, a language that is now only about 1,200 to 1,500 years old, but rather in ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, and an ancient form of Greek called Koine. Thus, in order for modern Americans to benefit from the Bible, we must either skillfully learn those ancient languages or have the Bible translated into our native tongue. Fortunately, our English-speaking forefathers saw the need for an English Bible, and in 1380, the first English edition of the New Testament was produced and published by John Wycliffe. Now, over 600 years later, the English Bible has been revised, perfected, and improved to produce some of the great and not-so-great versions available for modern readers. In our next episode, we will discuss some of the issues and challenges at work in producing an English Bible and how to identify the most accurate translations available. For now, we shall consider the question of translation itself. Can the supernatural attributes of the original Bible manuscripts be accurately and faithfully transmitted from the language originally chosen by God to another? If you've ever spoken through the medium of a translator, you know the difficulty involved in that process. Some of those difficulties will be examined in the next episode. But because of them, some maintain it is impossible to preserve the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture while moving the message from one language to another. The Muslim faith maintains that the Quran can only be accurately understood in Arabic. Liberal scholars say that the Bible is hopelessly altered in the translation process. But what does God's Word itself say about the matter? I present two reasons why we know that the Bible can be accurately translated into another language from the original. First, in Acts 2, verses 2 through 4, the Bible records how the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That these other tongues were human languages is evident from the next verses. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." These scriptures demonstrate that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached in any language. The theological message of the gift of tongues was that the gospel is for all nations and all ages. Perhaps the Quran cannot be accurately understood in English, but thank God the Bible can be. Secondly, we learn from the example of the apostles that the Bible may be accurately translated by uninspired men. When the New Testament writers quote from the Old Testament scriptures, they use a Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. Uninspired men translated the Septuagint, and it contains some discrepancies against the Hebrew scriptures, in which all cases, all scholars judge the Hebrew scripture to be more accurate, but apparently the Septuagint was accurate enough in most places to be used by the apostles to teach the truth. The lesson being, when uninspired men produce a translation of the scripture, it is liable to have some mistakes, but it is possible and in fact probable that the truth can generally be taught from it. This does not mean that all translations are equal. Translations are tools, and Bible readers must know how to use them. But these powerful truths show us that God, who desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2 and 4, has revealed the truth in such a way that it may be learned in every place, in every age, by every people, in every language. I'm Clinton DeFrance, inviting you to join us next week for another question answered on Landmark Q&A.